Thank you for that song. That was a blessing. Did I turn this off or did I mute it? Am we good? I think I pressed it too long. There we go.
Amen. I did the sound room at our church and I still get the sound stuff wrong. It is an honor to be here. It is a blessing. Both those messages were, I feel like, timely and really a blessing and encouragement to me. If you'd open your Bibles with me, this is something that the Lord placed on my heart. I've been praying about what to preach, and the Lord placed it on my heart a couple weeks ago, and I've been looking it over and developing it and really praying over it. But Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. This is something that's not going to be anything new. It's not going to be some profound message that you've never heard before, but it's something that the Lord's been using in my life. I feel like that's something that the Lord having to preach. Genesis chapter number 22. Normally, I would go and read through the passage of Scripture that I'd be preaching on before I preach it, but for sake of time, there's 18 verses that I'm really going to be covering, and normally when I preach or I'm teaching, if I have an hour-long lesson, I use about 4 verses, so I'm not going to be able to go in-depth into this, but it's something, I'm going to give an overview, something the Lord's been using in my heart. Pastor, so thankful for the opportunity to preach. It is an honor. The more I'm preaching in other men's pulpits, the more I'm realizing how much of an honor it is to stand back here. So thank you for the opportunity. It really is a blessing to me. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started. Now, Father, I don't thank you for today. Thanks for the opportunity to preach. Thank you that you are with us, Lord. You promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you said, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Lord, I pray that you'd be with me as I preach. Help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I can't do this without you. Lord, touch my mouth. Help me to speak slowly and clearly. Touch my mind. Help me to remember what I've studied. Touch my heart. Give me wisdom on how to preach it. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for a church that's willing to invest in missionaries and put their people around missions. I pray that you would bless them for their efforts. I pray that you would just meet with us in the coming meetings. Touch Dr. Johnson as he's going to be preaching. Lord, thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for everything you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Just chapter number 2. We all know this passage of Scripture. We've all heard it preached. We've all read it. We're very familiar. And because of that, I feel a little better about not reading it before I dive straight into it. Brother Johnson talked this morning about how with his first class, you make all the mistakes. So where are the 2 mistakes coming up here? But also, I look at him as Brother John David as my much older brother in this deputation race. So it is an encouragement to be with them. Their family's been a blessing to us. Henry's always a joy to be around for sure. Genesis chapter number 22. I'll start reading verse 1. I'll read a couple verses, and I'll talk about them for a minute. In verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him." I'll stop right there for a minute. And the first thing I want to look at is the word, where it says, "Here I am." You know that phrase, "Here am I, here I am"? We see that throughout the Scripture. We see it throughout the Bible. And it's something that's always, we hear it, and in my life, I've heard it, I've processed it, and then I've just kind of moved on. You know, I know what it means. It means he's willing to do something for the Lord. He's here. But then I really, when I'm studying this message, I went to dive down into that phrase and look at the different times in the Bible where it was used. We see it was used in the Bible 12 different times. Not all the times it was used was man talking to God. It's a side note, but there's a couple times where God has said it to a man, and that's a country, which is amazing to think about. But that word, it's a Hebrew word that I've not taken Hebrew. I'm not fluent in Hebrew. I can't pronounce it, but it's H-I-N-E-N-I is how you would pronounce it. I don't know how to go about pronouncing it. But that "here am I," it's not just a location. It's not just Abraham saying, "You know what? I'm right here. I can hear you. I'm available." I remember so many times my mom asking where I'm at, and I was like, "I'm over here," or "I'm right here." And she was making sure I could hear her when she gave me the instructions. But that's not what this word is. That's not what this phrase is saying. Abraham's not saying, "I can hear you." He's not saying, "I'm in this location." What it means is it's a presence or readiness, a willingness to fully engage or participate. Abraham was saying, "Here am I, whatever you want me to do, I'm here to do it." But he had no idea what God wanted him to do. Before God ever told Abraham which was to go sacrifice his son, before God ever said that, Abraham said, here I am. I'm here. God said, Abraham. And it was just, I'm here. It was an unquestioned, the first point is an unquestioned availability. In my life, how many times I've said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but you have to tell me what it is before I'll agree to do it. Or how many times have we asked someone, hey, can you do me a favor? Well, what's the favor? You know, you get a good friend who will say, of course, before they ever know the favor. But Abraham said, you know what? Before you ever tell me what you want me to do, I will say, I'm here. Here I am. I'm ready and willing to do it. I was looking at a couple different places in the Bible where it was used. In Genesis 31, verse 11, Jacob was about Jacob. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. Again, before Jacob ever knew what God wanted him to do, he said, behold, here am I. You can look at it again in Genesis chapter number 46. Jacob again said, and God spake unto Israel in the vision of a night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. That's my hardest thing I've ever done is to preach slowly. I don't know why. I grew up speaking extremely fast. I'm from Georgia where everyone speaks very slowly. So growing up, no one had any idea what I was saying. But Exodus chapter number 3, verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, this is talking about Moses, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. We see this again in Isaiah, or 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verses 1 through 10. We see, first of all, it's a completely unrelated point, but in verse 1 it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Before God ever called him, before God ever said, I want you to do something, he was just like, you know what? I'm going to serve the Lord. I was saved when I was 6. I started preaching when I was 15. But it wasn't until I was 19 that I'll talk about this more in a minute, but it wasn't until I was 19 that I really started serving the Lord. I encourage you in your life, before God ever, you might say, well, I don't know if God wants me to be a missionary. I don't know if God wants me to be a pastor or a music director or a Sunday school teacher. Before Samuel ever did anything for the Lord, he was ministering to the Lord. Start serving God now. Don't wait. I waited until I was really 19. From 15 to 19, wasted years. I wasn't serving God like I should have. So I encourage you, start serving now. But and then you see in Isaiah 6, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. In your life, in my life, am I willing to say, God, I don't know what you have for me in the future. I don't know what you're going to want me to do, but I'll do it. In your life, have you told the Lord that? We see the first thing is we see Abraham's unquestioned availability. But then we see, in verse 2, we see an unbelievable order. If you think about this, Abraham, I'm going to ask you guys, have you ever been remembering as a child, doing something wrong, and then finding out you got caught? Right? You know that sinking in your stomach, just like, I'm trying to think of, you know what I'm talking about, that just sinking in the pit of your stomach, just that, oh, this is bad. I have to imagine that's what Abraham had. When he heard God say, sacrifice your son, your only son Isaac, I can't imagine he'd be like, I promise you he wasn't happy about it. I promise he wasn't just like, okay, great. That he had that, it was an unbelievable order. It was something God told him to do that. He was like, why? This makes no sense at all. I was talking to my dad. My dad's retired Navy. He spent 21 years in the military. He retired when I was 3, so I'm technically a military kid, but when I was 3, he retired, so it's really not. But I was asking him, and there's two types of orders in the Navy, really. There's your standing orders and then your issued orders. A standing order is an instruction that is permanent, and it applies continuously until amended or revoked. They govern routine operations, procedures, and behaviors. Standing orders provide a constant framework for daily activities and operational procedures. In my life, in the Christian walk, do we not have standing orders from the Lord? Does God not tell us to live holy? Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Peter chapter number 1 talks about how, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Thessalonians several times repeats the same sentiment, that God calls us to live holy. Now, I'm not standing here saying we have to live holy to go to heaven. We know that, like you talked about this morning, we're not. I know that's, I was talking to a really Catholic, our tutor, she's Catholic, and I was talking about how she was surprised that we're not worried about if we're doing good enough to go to heaven. There was a novel thing for her that she didn't have to be worried about doing good enough because we know we're not good enough. But in our Christian life, God still calls us to live holy. And I'm not preaching sinless perfection, but our goal, my goal in life should be as perfect and as holy as God is holy. That's the standing order we have. We see a standing order to spread the gospel on Mark 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We see Acts 1:8. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. In our life, are you doing what God, the standing order for every Christian? People, I love when you hear, you ask someone if they're going to go to church. Like, well, I'll pray about it if God's will to go to church. It's God's will for you to go to church. It's God's will for you to be a faithful member of this church. It's God's will for you to pray. It's God's will for you to read your Bible. It's God's will for you to give the missions. It's God's will for you to pray for your missionaries. When I was 19, like I said, I surrendered to preach. But before that, I wasn't doing my standing orders. And I was wondering, I was, Lord, I'll preach. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But what do you want me to do? Do you want me to be an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor? I don't know. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. And it wasn't until I was 19 when I realized that, hey, there's things I need to be doing in my life now. I need to start serving where I'm at now. Once I started doing that, the Lord burdened my heart for missions. That's a whole other story that would take more time than I have. But we see here an unbelievable order. But we also see, we see standing orders, we see issued orders. For me and Charity, it's to go to Spain as church planting missionaries. He talked about Paul and his orders. He was saying God called him to the Gentiles. And I have scripture verses after scripture verses. You can see Peter with Cornelius. You can see Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, where God had individual tasks for individuals. In your life, have you said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I know you want me to do X, Y, Z, because that's what every Christian is, but what is your perfect will for my life? But we see Abraham got his orders, but then we see unerring preparation. From verse 3 to 6, and you don't see any delay. You don't see Abraham saying, well, I'll do this in the future. It says early in the morning. I believe it was the next morning when Abraham woke up. He started preparing for what God wanted him to do. He started getting the wood. He started getting his servants. He started getting Isaac. He traveled across the country to get to where he was supposed to go. He started preparing for what God wants you to do. Are you preparing for what God wants you to do? How do we prepare? The Bible is very clear. Studying. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Bible is very clear that if any man lack wisdom, you know, ask of God, he giveth all men liberally. And that's a paraphrase. That's not a quote. Don't worry. I do use the King James. But wisdom isn't knowledge. God said he'd give us wisdom, but wisdom is the application of knowledge, not facts. Are you studying the scriptures? I tell young kids, I told them this morning, when I was younger, I wasn't really studying the scriptures. I could be so much more mature in my walk with Christ if I had started studying sooner. Start preparing for what God wants you to do. We see he had unquestioned availability. He received unbelievable orders. He had unerring preparation, but then we see he had undying trust. In Genesis chapter number 21, God promised Abraham that in Isaac his seed would be called. But we see here, it says in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to a place which God told him of, and Isaac built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. We see here, Abraham knew God promised him that in Isaac his seed would be called. And now God's called him to sacrifice his own son. But you don't see any doubt. I don't know if Abraham was expecting a lamb to be up there. I don't know if he was expecting Isaac to be risen from the dead. I don't know if he was expecting something, but he trusted God. He made the decision that I'm just going to do whatever God says. I'm just going to trust him. That's a good decision to make. That if God tells me to do something crazy, if we have an unbelievable order from God, that makes no sense. Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what. It sounds crazy, but I'm just going to do it. In your life, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to have undying trust in the Lord? But then we see unwavering obedience. We see he actually went to kill In verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You see, it unwavering obedience. If you look at Hebrews 11, there's instance after instance after instance. And for sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But read that. You see people who just said, you know what? I'm going to obey God to the end, no matter what. They had unwavering obedience. You can look at the 11 disciples. You can look at Paul, David Livingston, Nate Saint, Jim Elliot, C.T. Studd. You can look at Amy Carmichael. You can look at all these different missionaries. They said, you know what? I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. In your life, are you willing to just do it? Are you willing to say, you know what? It makes no sense, an unbelievable order, but I'm going to have unwavering obedience in that. There's a song, Obedience is the Very Best Way to Show That We Believe. And that's such a true song. Also, that's how I remember how to spell obedience. But in your life, are you willing to? Because we know we can do that because we see unceasing providence. The Bible says in verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. You think about that. As Abraham was walking up one side of the mountain, I believe the ram was walking up the other side of the mountain. Years before that, God had a certain seed to take root and turn into this perfect bush that would be perfectly made to capture these ram's horns. Before that, God made that seed get there. I don't know if it was a breath of wind, a bird, an animal. You know, I refuse to let Calvinism take away the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, God is on the throne, and he's in control. He's so sovereign, he's willing to give us free will to accept him. He's willing us to give us the choice to accept him or not. But God will provide. The Bible says, all power is given unto me. And then later he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. We see the unceasing providence of God. I grew up in full-time ministry. My dad retired when he was 3, and we went into full-time ministry. And I grew up seeing God provide for my family. I never questioned if God was able to provide. I never did. What I questioned was, would he do it for me? Am I important enough to the Lord to let him actually supply my needs and to bless me and provide for me? I can tell you, it's been amazing. Since we started Deputation, he's met all our needs above and beyond. It's been truly amazing, like with the grace and the dump truck. He's just above all that we can ask and think. But it's been amazing to see the unceasing providence of God. And then later you see, in this chapter, you see unsurpassed blessings. In verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time. And he said, again, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will bless thy seed as the stars of heaven, as a seed which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. We see Abraham had unsurpassed blessings because he obeyed the Lord. In your life, yes, we're going to have unquestioned availability. Yes, we're going to get unbelievable orders. But are you willing to prepare? Are you willing to have unfaltering preparedness? Are you willing to press forward? Are you willing to have the unerring preparation, undying trust, unwavering obedience? Are we trusting the unceasing providence? And there is those unsurpassed blessings. I can tell you there's no greater life than serving the Lord. Pastor, I'm sure you can attest. There's no greater life than serving the Lord. Whatever God wants you to do, I encourage you to do it. You won't regret it. I promise you that. There was a missionary, in closing, there was a missionary who, he was going to the Muslims in China. And he was a super wealthy man. On his way over there, he said, no reserves. He wasn't keeping any of his wealth. When he got to about Egypt, he got sick and he wrote, no retreats. He chose not to go home. Before he died, he wrote, no regrets. I can assure you that can be the saying for anyone who's chosen to serve Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. Thank you for this church. I pray you be with us the rest of the meeting. Touch us, help us, and use us. Lord, help us to just obey you. Lord, it all comes down to that. Lord, help us to be unquestionably available. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor.